Today is the Epiphany. It's the reminder of actually yesterday, technically, was Epiphany, and it was the reminder of the coming of Jesus for not just Israel, but also for the Gentiles as well, as we remember the three kings who came from afar to worship their Savior. And today, then, we recognize and remember, commemorate the baptism of Jesus. This last week on Facebook, you know how you get those reminders that pop up with pictures? You know, Facebook is really generous that way. I don't know about you, but Facebook really likes me. And I know this because at the top of the picture this week it said, "Steve, we want you to remember the great memories that you've had over the years." I thought, hey, thank you, Facebook. That's really nice of you. And so then I see this picture of a very memorable baptism. It was on New Year's Day, actually. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I can't quite remember. But Pastor Corey and I were going to share in this baptism. This young lady, Elena, insisted on being baptized in the Columbia River. Well, it's cold in the Columbia River on New Year's Day. And so we all show up to the baptism, and Pastor Corey is like one of the last ones to get there. And I'm wearing a wetsuit because it's cold in the Columbia River. Elena's wearing a wetsuit because it's cold in the Columbia River. And Pastor Corey comes rolling up, and he's wearing board shorts and a t-shirt. And he says to us, "What are you guys doing? You're wearing wetsuits." And we say to him, "It's cold in the Columbia River." You know, some baptisms are more memorable than others, but none is more meaningful than the other. We're going to talk about baptism today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we remember this day, your baptism, we pray that you would bring to our memories our own baptisms. Christ, it is a gift that you came in the manger as a child. It's a gift that you entered into ministry by being baptized. And so, God, as we identify with the baptism of Christ in our own baptisms, may we truly seek to live lives that are worthy of our calling and our baptisms, as you have made us perfect in your image, as you have come in the person of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would come now. Speak to us, O Lord. May the words then of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to divert from the scripture texts that are in the bulletin. So I really encourage you today to pull out a Bible. I'm going to be in Romans, the 6th chapter, because I think Paul truly nails what it means to share in a baptism of Jesus. So you have a pew Bible there in front of you. Is anybody there to Romans yet? You can give us a page number and make it real easy. Romans chapter 6. Anybody? 1131. Okay, 1131. If you have a Bible on your phone, that's fine as well. So I'll read it for us, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll take a look at it together. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And now verse 11, and Paul's point and where we will begin. His encouragement to the believers at Rome and the encouragement we receive today is this: in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, live differently because of your baptism. Live differently because you have now identified with Christ. Don't continue to live the same way that you used to live. Why? Verses 8 and 10 get to the why. We live differently. We count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, because if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. We've heard of that hymn, that song, that tune, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we live. Because Christ conquered the grave, we too conquered the grave. And here's Paul's argument. This is his argument that we can live dead to sin and alive to God. There are some who would argue against our ability to do what Paul is encouraging. Some would say, well, we're just trapped in sin. There's no way we can get out of it. We continue to live our same lives. But Paul's argument begins with verse 1. You see, in verse 20, Paul reminds us that the law, that's the Torah, was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, says Paul, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, where God found the law wanting, where we failed the law, Paul says grace abounded all the more in those places. Where we found ourselves living lives of sin, God entered in through the person of Christ to forgive us. And so Paul says, given this information, well, should we continue on sinning? Because when I sin, God forgives me, and that's more grace. You understand the argument there, right? If I sin, more grace. But Paul says, by no means ought we continue to sin. Yes, God's grace abounds in our sin. But Paul says in verse 2, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? How can we live in our sin if we have died to our sin? And Paul says in verses 3 and 4, quite distinctly and clearly, you know, sometimes the Bible is really clear. And this is one of those places where the Bible's very clear. Paul doesn't mince words. There's no hidden meaning. There's nothing deeper here that we have to raise up out of the text. He says simply, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And what does that mean? He says, well, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And because we have been buried into the death of Jesus, because we have received the power of the Holy Spirit in the baptism of our own lives, Paul says at the end of verse 4 that there's a purpose for our death. that in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, four things are happening here. First, we will certainly also be united with him, or first, we too may live a life, a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, number two, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that, number three, our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And number four, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So our new reality is that we have been buried with Jesus through our baptism, and we identify with his death. Our new reality is that we have been raised into new life as Jesus was raised from the grave. And so then we live differently. What does it mean to live differently? Well, we live a new life. You know, we're suffering in our country when it comes to church attendance. It's going like this, straight down. And our congregation is not immune from that decline. And you know, the main reason that people say, at least, why they are not going to church anymore, you know what it is? Hypocrisy. They say about the church that it looks no different than the world around them. That in particular, what Christians profess and confess is not the same as what they live in life. But Paul says, if indeed we have, through our baptisms, been buried and raised, as Christ was buried and raised, our lives should look markedly different, changed, not like the world anymore. People ought to say about the one who has been baptized, there's something different about him, or there's something different about her. You know, for many years in the church, we've been professing, I believe, a gospel that's true, but a gospel that's shallow. And that gospel is a gospel of salvation after death. That somehow we show up, we are baptized, we enter into a new relationship with Christ, we get our ticket punched to heaven, whoopee, and we're ready to go. But our lives don't change. They remain the same. We still do the same things. We still think the same way. The same words come out of our mouth. The same attitudes that we used to share are still shared. But the reality is that a life that is baptized and made new is a life that begins living in the kingdom right now. We get a ticket, all right, but we're using that ticket already, because the kingdom of God, Jesus didn't say the kingdom of God will come when you die. The kingdom of God will come when I return. Jesus said what? The kingdom of God is now at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near. It's here. In fact, Jesus said the kingdom of God is brought to you by him, me. He ushered in that kingdom. The kingdom around us is ready for us to live in. We simply need to live that new life in Christ. Paul continues, and he says, not only because Christ was raised and Christ died do we live a new life, but he says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, number two, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We live united in the resurrection of Jesus. What does that mean? It means that death no longer has a hold on us. Our death no longer has a hold on us. In fact, Paul says in another epistle, as there are those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, he says, we do not mourn like those who don't have faith. We mourn differently because death has lost its sting. Where is thy sting, O death? Asks Paul. There's no sting in death. Why? Because Christ was raised from the grave. Because the tomb is empty, friends. Because we now live united in the resurrection with Jesus. We live a new life that's a kingdom life that looks different than the life we used to live. We live a life that death no longer has a hold of. Death is not the end. It's not just blackness when we die. There's eternal life, a life of eternity with Christ. And this all comes because we are dead to sin and alive to God. Number three, Paul continues, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. Some of you might be asking, well, how do I live a new life? How do I live a life that's united in the resurrection of Christ, where death has no hold on us? Well, here's the good news. Your old self has been crucified. It's gone. There's nothing left to it. It's been put to death. What does that mean? Our old self, with its wants and its desires and its preferences and its attitudes, is gone. And this is not your work, by the way. It's the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those things have been wiped away. It's a declaration here of Paul's that the old self is gone and the new has come. That the old has been crucified and the new has been raised. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be in Christ Jesus. This last semester in studying for school, I had wrestled my whole life with trying to be balanced. Have you heard people tell you? You've got to be balanced. You have to be balanced in life. You have to balance your work life with your home life, with your spiritual life, with your family life. All these lives that we live, right? We have to be balanced. And you know my problem is? I'm not balanced. And so for 48 years, I've been beating up myself for not being balanced, trying to find balance. But there are sometimes my family requires more of me. There are sometimes my job requires more of me. There are sometimes my friends require more of me. You know how that goes. And so there really is no balance. But I was reassured as I came to a new understanding of what it meant to be crucified with Christ, that old self. It's not balance that we ought to be seeking. It's not balance, it's centeredness, centered in Christ Jesus. That when it comes to work, I ought to be centered in Christ Jesus. When it comes to my life at home, I ought to be centered in Christ Jesus. When it comes to life with my friends, I ought to be centered in Christ Jesus. It's living centered in Christ Jesus. And you know what? I found success, finally. I won't be balanced. I think that's an impossible goal. But to be centered in Christ Jesus in all that we do. And that happens because the dead in us has been crucified. That old self is gone. So those wants and the desires and preferences, they're dead. And so Paul says, through your baptism, you have died to sin and you live to God. Lastly, here he concludes, our old self was crucified with him so that, we have a so that, it indicates purpose, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Does this mean we sin no more? I wish. Don't raise your hands when I ask you this question, but are there any here who do not sin? We all sin. and fall short of the glory of God. So what does Paul mean here when he says we live free from sin? He means this: sin is no longer our master. That's what he means. Sin is no longer our king. Sin no longer rules us. Sin no longer has reign in our lives. Yes, we sin, but God is our master. Yes, we sin, but God has rule and reign in our lives, not sin. And this is what it means, that we have died to sin and now live to God. If you're considering a New Year's resolution, maybe it's this one. I wonder what would happen to our congregation if all of us, as we're reading through the Bible, because guess what? That's going to give us the how and the why and the motivation. I wonder what we would look like a year from now if we endeavored to live up to the encouragement of the Apostle Paul to, in the same way, each of us count ourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine? Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.